Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. We're going to get started with Stephanie Mills and Homeless.
When I think of home, I think of a resting place. A place where there's peace, quiet, and serenity. And that's where some of my friends have gone. Friends who have traveled with me through my wonderful experience in Oz, a journey I'll never forget.
When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love alone. I wish I was home, I wish I was back there with the
tall grass bending to leaves.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. Oh, wow. What a day, what a day, what a day. Beautiful day. The wind blowing, trees waving. Look like it's raining. All right, we're going to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, many names. But on this line, we call it God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that it's not a spot that our God is not. So right now, I just want you to become very intentional about the breath, God, because there's power in the breath, family. And as we breathe in today, I just want us to breathe in gratitude for divine grace. Just gratitude for divine grace. Thanking God for the opportunity that mercy, grace, and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And so as we give honor to the breath this morning, breathing in. I want you to breathe in right now. Just breathe, family. Get in that deep breath. Breathing in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. Then release the breath, recognizing that there is power in the breath. And as we become intentional, I want you to be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am, that I am God. Breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe again, family. And release. There is power in the breath, family. I want you to breathe, family. Let's breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am, that I am God. Breathe. Breathe.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself. Forgiveness Meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine. Intended to be so. That you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be. And it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, throughout every aspect and fiber of your being. Golden light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release, knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being, and every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception, that is anything but love, is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale and a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. And a slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes, and stretch your body, allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale and drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space and this time, your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
And as we so eloquently been given a platform, I just want us to center our mind in this collective space together to see the names that have been given. And if there's any new names, you can speak them. But right now, I want us to hold this space right now for healing space. As the Holy Spirit dispatches healing angels, dispatches legion of healing angels around each name that we speak, asking Holy Spirit to continue to allow us to have the vision of perfection, wholeness, and complete. And so as we hold the vision of love for each person, I just want us to continue to hold them in the light of perfection. Remember, we are metaphysicians. And anytime there's a healing, it's really about God being revealed in this situation. So right now, as I speak the name Rochelle Knox, we see her perfect, whole, and complete. And together, we see her whole, perfect, and complete. Her beautiful smile, her beautiful presence. We bless the gift called Rochelle Knox right now. As we center our energy in her hospital room, seeing her perfect, whole, and complete. Seeing her drive for life, her passion, her hunger, seeing her walking, laughing, sitting in the flowers by her home, enjoying the presence of God. We thank you for the gift called Rochelle Knox. as we hold Khadija Ali. Today is her Earth Day. We give blessings upon blessings. I want you to just hold Khadija in the light this morning, blessing her body, blessing her mind, seeing her perfect, whole, and complete, seeing her as the beautiful gift that she is to the planet, giving thanks that this is her Earth Day. This is the day that God sent forth this beautiful gift and sent her to the planet and then called her Khadija Ali. We thank you right now. And I just want you to hold her in the light for a few minutes in love and send lots of light and love to Khadija, because, you know, together this, and as we hold Derek Fleming in light and love, recognizing his mighty power, strength, and his amazing ability to be the gift that he is to the planet. And as he grow and learn more that he was mighty in the land, and we see him perfect, whole, and complete. We thank you for the gift called Derek Fleming. And as we hold Carla LeVeau Hawkins recognizing her gift to the planet, holding her in the light, perfect, whole, and complete. Thanking you for the gift called Carla. Ernest Abdullah, we bless his body, holding him in the light. There's power and collective energy. Thank you. As we send Ernest Abdullah the energy of love, you know, in the truth, there's nothing to heal, only to have God be revealed. And so as God is revealing God's self through these gifts, Rochelle, Derek Fleming, Ernest Abdullah, Khadija Ali, we give thanks as we hold them in the light. I'd like to send Mama Doris Reddick some light, as we see her perfect, whole, and complete. So thank you. If there's any other names, you can speak them quietly or speak them out loud. As we hold these beautiful energies in the light and love, knowing that these are beautiful representations of God's energy. Again, we speak the name of love over Doris Reddick, Carla LeVeau Hawkins, Rochelle Knox, Ernest Abdullah, Derek Fleming, Amir J. Otto Price, and just hold the light around these energies this morning. Giving thanks for the presence of God, knowing that God is peace. Peace be still.
Deeper than the eye can see. I'm in a Father even walked with me. Said he keeps my mind in perfect peace. Into my ear he sings a melody, yeah.
Good morning. You tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And I am your daddy lover. That was Whinings Part 2, meaning that is the children of the original Whinings group. And that song is called Let Him In. Let Him In. I remember the first time I was on the stepping floor and I heard that song. I didn't even know it was a religious song. And I was like, and then I started listening to the words, and it's like, let him in, saints, let him into your heart. And I started thinking about that song one day, and I thought, wow, that song really is about experiencing God in the heart. So many times we think about the intellectual presence of God, but do we really experience God in our heart? You'll make love to your heart. It's deeper than the eye can see. It's not carnality. It's spirituality, he says in the psalm. And it's deeper than the eye can see. And as I move through this journey of life, I realize that life is really deeper than the eye can see, period. You see, life is not about managing the physical as much as about managing the vibrational, the unseen presence of us. It's funny how I could take a whole lesson on one thing, right? Let me get back to the presence. I'm going to read from The Science of the Mind. Maybe we just let spirit do what it do, huh? Today's science of the mind is Prag-Bodhi-Cave. Now, I might be pronouncing that wrong, but that's the best I can do, Prag-Bodhi-Cave. It is better to be alone than to be with those who hinder your progress. It is better to be alone than to be with those who hinder your progress. In a book called Creative Mind and Success by Ernest Holmes, one stream of thought, even though it may not be very powerful, will do more for us than many powerful streams that are at variances with each other. Wow. So today's science in the mind says the northeast of Bodh Gaya, India, is a terrain of rocky hills and brush populated by slums. Situated inside of one of these hills is called the Prag Bodhi Cave, the place where Siddhartha Gautama is believed to have lived for 7 years among the ascetics who fervently believed that poverty was the pathway to enlightenment. Here, he subsisted on little, becoming emaciated and ill before traveling toward the Bodhi tree and his eventual enlightenment. He said, if you arrive before dawn, you can spend time alone in the tiny candlelit rock chamber before the daily matins of Buddhist pilgrims arrive for worship in the monastery. You see, I've been captivated by the energy of the small cave on my visits there. I often wonder what happened within the heart and mind of Gautama on the day he determined, enough, enough. What motivated him to end his allegiance to this chosen path of suffering? Similarly, what transpires within our own lives to get us to the point of proclaiming enough now? How much do we have to starve ourselves with joy and suffer and fulfillment before we leave the people or circumstances that fail to feed these essentials? You see, there's a saying, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You see, there will be periods of time when we may stay in situations that are less than optimal, even detrimental. Yet as we grow in awareness of our worth and our ability to shape our future, do we remain among people, beliefs, and situations that do not support our greater possibility, our own enlightenment? You see, the word Prag Bodhi means prof before. Bodhi means enlightenment. Just like Gautama, the Buddha, we must examine our reasons for staying in our own metaphorical cave of struggle. Woof. Only we can determine what and when the establishment moment of enough will become a catalyst to move on. When will we decide that we no longer have to struggle? When will we decide that we're sick and tired of being sick and tired? Why are we staying in the caves of struggle and strife and poverty and lack and not enough? Affirmation today is, I am the expression of high consciousness. Together, family, I am the expression of high consciousness. I am the expression of high consciousness. Let's do it again. I am the expression of high consciousness. And I want you to marinate on that. When will enough be enough? When will you decide that you no longer want struggle, strife to be your narrative? We get to choose. So many times, we keep experiencing the same old thing over and over and over and over again. And the only constant in that situation is who? And I know most of us know in algebraic expressions, there's a variable and there's a constant. Why do we choose struggle? Israelites, when they told Moses that they wanted to go back to a familiar struggle, then to go to an unknown place. Remember when they would say Moses and they was fussing at Moses? Sometimes we stay stuck and struggle and strife and lack. What can we learn from the struggle and then release it? So often, we forget that prosperity is our birthright. We forget that abundance is who we are. Why is it so easy to remember to be poor? And when will we decide that this is no longer for us and actually make a difference? Let me tell you, money is not a money problem. It's a mind problem. Let me say that again. Money is not a money problem. It's a mind problem. And when we start thinking about where the brain doesn't exist just in the mind in our head. There's a brain in every cell of our body. So your cell even remembers struggle. Your cell even remember how to be either or. And we've taught ourselves by the different thoughts that we've had over and over and over and over again. It's the issues in our tissue. Woo! That's some good stuff right there. It's the issues in our tissue. I was listening to this billionaire, and I listen to him a lot. And it's interesting because he's the total opposite of Reverend Knight in some ways, because he cursed a lot. But he's saying a lot of similar things that Reverend Knight said, but not in the way Reverend Knight said. But he said when he wants to be, he went to 300 banks. And he went to all the new banks in the community and presented his thing to somebody who said yes to him. He would go and sit in the Rolls Royce dealership every day. I said, well, I need to go find me a friend. We're going to go sit in the Rolls Royce dealership every day. Whatever dealership we want to sit in, you know, just to embrace the energy of what it is that we want. Now, we know these things, but how many people really doing these things? You know why we don't do it? Because we get in habits. We get in the habits of every day doing what we do, and then we very seldom move out of our habits. But if you want something different, you got to do something different. And why does struggle have to be our narrative? Why does struggle have to be our narrative? Our story, because the story we tell ourselves is the story we live. Now, I want you to think about that. It's the issues in our tissue. Now, I love the way Cindy Trim say this. It was her thoughts, and I want you to know you've heard this, but I just want you to really hone in on the part when Cindy Trim comes in about the issues and the thoughts she had been thinking and how it was affecting her body. Come on.
In a room this size, everyone's dressed up and we look nice and we put on whatever we could to come on and look presentable, but what you cannot see are the issues that are flowing underneath the current. I promise you, no matter how good she looks, no matter how fly she is, she's got issues. She's got these issues that she's had to learn to live with.
I didn't realize that everything that I was thinking was affecting cells in my body. I didn't realize that the things that I was rehearsing was affecting the way that I looked, the way I felt about myself, the way I carried myself, issues in the tissues.
I want to be anointed to be seen by my sister. I want my sister to know that I was insecure too. That I was in a bad relationship to. Some people touch Jesus, get the power, and then act like they never had issues. But it takes a special kind of woman, the kind of woman that I'm trying to connect with, to say, you know what, babe, I see you struggling, but let me tell you how I got my healing. I knew how to touch Jesus and then be seen. I wish that there were some women in this room and in this generation and in this world who didn't mind saying, yeah, it looks pretty now, but you should have seen how broke down, raggedy, disgusted, and insecure it was before I put the highlight and contour on. I want you to realize that before I had an incredible husband, I had raggedy, low down, no good, for nothing brothers in my life trying to mess up my self-esteem. I want you to know before I got the job that I had to work at the grocery store and I had to flip burgers. I don't want you to just see me in my heel state. I don't want you to just see Mary. I want you to see Eve, because had it not been for Mary, there would be no Eve, and had it not been for Eve, there would have been no Mary. What am I telling you? I'm telling you another woman needs to see. I need to see you. I need to see you. I need to connect with you. I'm not going to let you fall. I'm not going to let you fail. You're not going to be around me telling me what's going on with you. And I act like, oh my goodness, I could never imagine. No, girl, I may have not gone through that, but let me tell you what I did go through. And let me tell you how I got healed. And let me tell you how I came out on the other side. I want to have a sisterhood of women who won't let another woman dissolve while you eat on.
I want to say over your life that the enemy that you see today, you will not see that enemy tomorrow. I decree every diabolical cycle is broken. And I decree and declare that you are not only coming into new cycles, you are coming into new seasons. I decree old seasons are broken, and God is introducing you to a new season. I release the anointing of Esther upon you. I decree that it's not only your time, it is your turn.
Because I'm coming from behind, and I'm desperate to hear. I don't want to just be a church girl. I don't want to just be someone else who knows how to hoop and holler and dance around and goes back home and their life has never been changed. I saw a generation do that before me. I want to be a God agent. I want to be a demon shaking, soul stirring, create something down on the inside of me. I feel like y'all might want to preach a little bit today. God, do something on the inside of me that shakes up every doubt, every insecurity, every fear. I am desperate, God, to stop these issues. Can I just have 10 seconds for the desperate women, for the women who came to be cute? We'll get back to the message in a minute. But can I hear from some desperate women? Make a demand on heaven. Let God know that you're talking to me. I hear you saying something to the woman you created me to be. God, I can't let this thing take over my mind any longer. Loose your hold off of me, Satan. You have no power in my life. Loose your hold off of my family. You have no power in my life. God, give me my heart back. God, give me my mind back. God, give me passion for something other than what I see on Instagram. Put something down on the inside of me that changes this world for the better.
Put something on the inside of me that make this world better. Stir up inside of me, Holy Spirit. Activate the gifts and the talents inside of me so that I can share my gifts with the world. You know, truly, that's the only answer in the world anyway, is to master our own gifts, master our own self, and share our gifts with the world. Because what is a gift when a gift is not shared? It's not a gift, is it? It's simple how God simply created us to give our gifts with the world and then said the gifts will make room for you and put you before great people.
And make room for you means that it will give you more than enough money to create the life you want. And that's really what life is about. We simply come to master ourselves. And when we think about money and everything that we simply desire, all of it will fall in place when we master ourselves, because everything is a reflection of who we are on the inside. So when we really say our money is not in order, or our relationships are distant, harmony, or whatever, that means that everything really is off balance, because how we do anything is how we do everything. So when we go in and check our inner self, we fix the whole self. Ooh, I like that. So when we think about, we can isolate money, we can isolate relationships, we can isolate, but really, it all comes down to one thing, and this is my opinion only. It only comes to one thing, is how we value and see ourselves. Our relationships that we invite into our lives is only a direct reflection of how we value ourselves. Money, and it took me a long time to get this, and no matter how many times I heard Dr. Dennis Campbell, and in his book, Wealth Choice, and many people say, Dr. Johnson, I don't know why I keep calling him, John Johnson asked Dr. Dennis Campbell, why are you not a millionaire? Now, for those of you who don't know Dr. Dennis Campbell, he's an author, a world-renowned speaker, and he did his PhD going around speaking to wealthy people, asking them different questions, especially African-American wealthy people. He was a similar, he wrote a book like, it was called Think and Grow Rich of a Black Choice, where he actually asked black millionaires and billionaires different questions, searching for the answers to wealth. One of the first things that he came up with, it was courage. There's nothing different between you and Oprah Winfrey, me and Tyler Perry, but the courage to take the leap, the courage to stand in our dreams, the courage to say yes. That might seem simple, but sometimes it's not as simple as you think, especially if you read the book, The Dream Giver. The next thing Dr. Dennis Kimball was asked by John Johnson, when he was asked why he was not a millionaire, he told him, you can tell a lot about a person by what's in their bank account. And that stuck me for years. How what is in my bank account has anything to do with me personally? But he said it's how people value themselves. Now, when we read The Richest Man in Babylon, he told us the first 10% of everything we earn should go into, is ours to keep. The first 10% of everything you earn is yours to keep. That means we should be keeping 10%. And how many of us really follow that rule? And see, it's more than just actually a physical act, because what you're teaching your money is how to treat you. You're teaching your money that you're important. But if you take every dime you got and pay the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker without ever putting yourself on there, you're saying, I desire money to send out. You're not saying that I desire money and value myself. So the first 10% that I earn should be going into some kind of savings account for me, because I'm important to my money. My money is important to me. I'm important to my money. And money takes on the energy of your own thoughts. So as soon as money is in your experience and you say to yourself, I don't have enough, then you will never have enough, because your energy of your thoughts go right into your money, and money responds to the energy of your thoughts. Which goes to one thing, meaning most people who don't have enough money and always experiencing not enough money, guess what the reason is? It comes from one reason and one reason only, whether you want to believe it or not. It comes from this one little space, this one little root that says, I am not enough. I'm going to let you marinate on that. Because in reality, you are more than enough. And as long as you still operate out of the idea that you're not enough, then you experience the energy of not enough in almost every area of your life. Because remember, you are the sun and everything is the ray from you. So if your rays are saying from the roots of who you are, from the sun, then you're saying I'm not enough in some ways. Now, you may not know that you're saying it, but your life is a demonstration of your beliefs. You can get on here and tell me all the time that you're a money magnet and all that beautiful stuff. But if you're not experiencing it, it's still because in the root level of your energetic expression, you still feel like you're not enough somewhere. I'm not good enough for something. I'm not enough for this. Or maybe I'm not pretty enough. Or maybe I'm not this enough. In reality, nobody has a monopoly on beauty. Beauty comes in many facets. But you let the world mind tell you what standard of beauty is. And so if you don't fit into that, then you think you're not beautiful. In reality, you're more than beautiful. Simply beautiful because you are. But it doesn't matter what I say to you. It only matters what you believe about you. So when you start to think about the issues and the tissues, in reality, that may sound like a pretty cliche or pretty rhyme, but in reality, it's deeper than what you really understand it. Because really what you're saying to yourself is deeply embedded into the tissues of your body, and your tissues and your cells are responding to what you have been saying to it for over years and years and years, and now it's manifesting. I'm not good enough. And so the cells say, oh, I'm not good enough. And so it invites the energy of not good enough into your relationships. It invites the energy of not good enough into your money. It invites it into every area of your life, because this is the energetic expression that you are expressing to the world, and this is the sun that you send out, the lights, and you say, I'm not good enough. And so the world says, okay, you're not good enough. We're going to send you exactly everything you desire, because the language of the universe is vibrational. And so when you vibrationally send out those thoughts, see, it's the silent thoughts. It's the secrets that you keep in the silence of your mind. But see, what's interesting is that your energy will snitch on you. Y'all didn't hear me this morning. Your energy is snitching on you because your life is a sum total of your beliefs about you. So if you're struggling, still in the rat race, and you still trying to figure this thing called life out, it's because you haven't been speaking to yourself properly. I want you to marinate on the idea, what are you saying to yourself? What are the silent thoughts that you keep to yourself? What do you say to yourself when you look in the mirror? What are you saying to yourself when nobody else can hear? At the end of the day, how can you value what you are doing? Is knowing your worth, knowing your exchange, and knowing that you have from free all the way to expensive so that you can hit or serve people at a multiple level. Is knowing that you are all that God is, and that you're ready to share yourself with the world, and know that you're valuable, and knowing that the value that you give to the world is worth a value in exchange. And you don't have to apologize for knowing your worth once you start that business or decide what you want to do. It's about being unapologetically truthful and authentic about who you are and what you are and what you expect, and having a certain expectation of how you want the universe to respond to you and how you give to the universe. But until you decide, the struggle and strife is no longer your story. Because the story you tell yourself is the story you live. As long as you keep saying or thinking you don't have enough, you will never have enough. and you'll never be enough, and you'll never have and be and get what you really truly want out of life. And really, family, it's as simple as deciding that I'm no longer going to allow this to be my story. No more, no more, no more, no more. And it's making a commitment to yourself that when you find yourself in those vibrational, energetic thoughts, is to move yourself vibrationally out of that space and remember to remember that you are all that God is. How can you be anything other? It's to remember to be committed to the commitment of getting back to the default truth that you are all that God is. Our default language is, I'm not enough. I don't have enough. Well, somebody call and say, let's go to Dubai, and your first thought is, well, I don't have enough. Instead of saying, I'm open to the experience of going to Dubai. And I'm going to allow the universe to direct me and show me how to manifest and bring into my experience that right there. And move out of the vibrational energy of not enough. And when you feel that experience of not enough, that experience comes to invite you to dig deeper, to heal the root of what is causing you to feel not enough. What is your story? What is the story that is causing you to feel the way you feel? Only manifests from our feeling nature. And no matter how frightening it may be, it's time to change your environment, family. It's time to go deeper. What is the divine wanting to express to you right now? That the divine is wanting to express through you in this situation that you are experiencing right now. What is the soul yearning for? What is your soul yearning for right now? Time to go deeper, family. That's my message today. It's 7:08. Any questions? Press 1 on Blog Talk, star 6 on the teleconference line, and let's talk about it. Whatever you want to talk about, any questions you have, any thoughts that may have come up for you. And I want to know, did anybody get a chance to do the homework assignment we had yesterday? Which is to go in our journal and draw ourselves exactly the way we want to see ourselves. Draw yourself and put those characteristics on there. No, you may not be an artist, but you can do the best you can to outline yourself and then write the words out. And then our other assignment for these last, since August started in, I don't know if you all have been doing it, we was to pick one person this month for the whole month. 30 days. You don't have to let the person know you're praying for them. It's just simply send love and joy and happiness and prayers of love and happiness and just pray over that person for a whole 30 days. So those have been our assignments so far for the August, month of August. I haven't given you a lot of work. So I want to know, has anybody been, did anybody draw themselves out? How did it feel? If you didn't, it's okay because you still got time. But it's important that we do these assignments. It's important that we take these assignments and do them and really contemplate the person we want to become and the person that we are being. Who are we being? And so when we think about the story that we tell ourselves and we keep experiencing lack, and if we're constantly experiencing struggle, then we got to see what's really deeply embedded into the cells and the memories and the behaviors. All right, so there is no question. All right, family, I just want to remind you, family, today that your life is a gift from God. I want to remind you today is Khadijah Ali's birthday. If you have any donations that you can send to our Miss Khadijah Ali, I told you that yesterday was her second chemotherapy treatment. She is behind. She just owes August. She's not behind on her rent, but she doesn't have all her money for the August rent. If you have any donations, you can donate them directly to Khadijah. It would be a great gift today to honor her for her birthday with the energy of your money, $10, $20, $30, $50, $100, whatever you got. And I would like for you to hold her in the truth that she is truly abundant, just the way she is right now.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am going to say, go to God's name each every day. You know, I love the last week or this month. Assignments and everything. I enjoy the picture. I've done that before. But I did want to speak on the power of praying for someone else. Some of you know that my nephew has been incarcerated for the last 2 years. And when he went in there, and up until this point, he's 30 now. Well, from the age of 6, he got from the grade, I guess 12, in the 6th grade, up until like last year or this year, he was always angry. Anger is what got him in his situation. So I've always prayed for him. Every morning I get up, you know, I see him healthy, whole, and in love. Love with himself. I get my church to pray for him. The Love Journey has prayed for him, that he become a better person or a much more centered and aware person. And he called me. I mean, he wrote me last week, and I was really brought to tears of happiness because he seems to have changed. He was telling me about how he had become aware that he was the cause of his incarceration, that nobody else was to blame. His life was not that difficult. He made it difficult. And for a grown man at 30, to realize that and become aware of his, how, what he said, how he moved, brought energies of negativity to him. So pray it does. And so I pray to Khadijah, because I know she's already whole, perfect, and healed. She has everything that she needs and desires, because that's the kind of woman she is. And she does not allow this situation to overwhelm her, which I know she won't, because that's not her nature. You know, I was thinking when you were talking about, being more or less aware of what you're saying out your mouth, what you're thinking in your head, how you're calling yourself. Who was that to say? I don't even know who said this. It's not what people call you. It's what you answer to. You know, it's not what you call yourself. It's what you answer to yourself. So if you start doing all that, I don't even want to say it, all the negative things behind that word I am, which is God, that's his name. And then you put negativity, I'm broke, I'm poor, I'm fat, I'm skinny, I'm whatever, I'm sick. And I was thinking about healing. And people, there are experiences that folks have where they are healed, no matter what the doctor says. The belief system that we know scientifically, that our cells, from the atom on, reproduce themselves. I mean, they have their own consciousness. So if your consciousness in your head is always telling your body that you're sick, then that's what the body's going to reproduce. Sick, sick. Put your hand on your whatever limb. Tell them how much you love it. I have been doing that since I got out the hospital. Because if I don't believe I'm healed, if I don't believe that nothing will hinder me, no matter what the doctors say, my body won't believe it. I like what you said about we're on a spiritual journey. So it's not so much controlling what's outside of yourself. It's about connecting with your mind, body, and soul, which can actually be called your unconscious, your conscious mind, and your superconscious mind. You know, there are so many things that tell you that once you hit that point where you're super conscious, you're super in touch with your spirituality. You're super in touch with God. You count it all joy. You don't throw up any negative feelings about what's going on. Today's meditation was on happiness. No matter what goes on, no matter how your experience might show up, we can change that. But you have to truly and trust that the universe of God is actually wanting nothing but the best for you. So, you know, I'm just learning that being better, doing better, so that I can show up better. And that's my journey, and this is just my opinion. I think that's how we're here. So I thank you, Janine, for all the insights and all the people and all the things. And I wanted to leave you with something that Emmett Fox said in his book, Divine Love. God is love, and there's nothing in existence but God. His self-expression. And guess what? We're his self-expression. He created us to walk on this earth as God. He blew into us all that he is. It's just for us to get in touch with it. Find Rosa J doing it God's way. It's just the thought about what you said today. The picture you painted of yourself. You guys have a good goddamn. Thank you so much. I am complete.
All right. Today is Khadijah Ali's birthday. I posted on Love Journey her Cash App and her wonderful PayPal address. So if you want to send her a donation, support her, is her Cash App is $ Madam CJ Walker. That's cash. Her Cash App is Madam CJ Walker family. And I want you to go to the Love Journey if you have not and like our page. And you can go right there and find her information. Also, if you want to do it through PayPal, it's KhadijahAli2500@gmail.com. That's KhadijahAli2500@gmail.com. All right, family, I want to remind you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is the only choice. And remember to dream. But not only dream, live your God-sized dream. Wow. And so today, family, I want to remind you to keep your head to the sky. This is Mesa.
At this point in my life, I just want to have fun, and I want to be free. Spiritually, I have grown, and I know I have a long way to go. But what I do know right now is that God is amazing, and the universe is amazing. There's so much out there for all of us that we never have to worry and shed a tear. And I'm looking forward to the rest of my life.